taken from the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, and we'll be reading the verses 29 to 45. Finishing the first chapter. There's a little bit of repetition in here from last week. You'll find out why when the sermon gets over. Mark 1, verses 29 to 45. Reading from the New International Version. And let us now hear the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on him. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell anyone this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in the lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. I invite you to keep your Bibles open this morning as we'll be working through this passage together. October 31, 1517 is the day celebrated in Reformed churches as Reformation Day. And on that day in 1517, Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to a church door in Germany. And Martin Luther was protesting the abuse of indulgences. At the time, he was not protesting indulgences themselves, but the abuse of them. And what was going on is that the Roman Catholic Church at the time was saying that when you died, before you got to heaven, you had to spend some time in purgatory. And you bought these indulgences, and these indulgences would go to your account. It would give you more grace, and so you could get out of purgatory quicker. Well, in an effort to raise more money, the Pope decided that what they should do is have it for the dead people. So if you had a relative who died, and you felt that he wanted to get out of purgatory quicker, you would buy some of these indulgences, and then the person would have to spend less time in purgatory, and he could move on into heaven. Well, Luther was protesting that, and he nailed those 95 theses upon the door, and what he was protesting was the oppression of the church, because the church at that time was oppressing the people. The people were feeling burdened down by paying all these indulgences, and the priests and the people in the church were using the Bible and interpreting the Bible in such a way that it was according to their church tradition. And what Luther brought back was he brought the people back to the Bible. Well, a similar thing was happening in our passage today. A similar thing was happening in Israel. Now, obviously, we cannot compare Luther with Jesus, because Luther wrote about Jesus, and Jesus is much, much greater than Martin Luther, who was a sinner and a man just like we were. But Jesus was coming into a place where the people were burdened down by the law. They were burdened down by the church tradition or by the authorities of the law, the teachers of the law who were teaching them. And we saw some of that last week when Jesus went into a synagogue And he was teaching there, and he was preaching to them that they had to repent of their sins and believe in the gospel, and that the time is fulfilled, a new kingdom, a new age has entered upon them. And all the people could say was, who is this? He teaches with authority, not like the teachers of the law. Again, the teachers of the law were burdening them down, and all these commandments that they wanted them to obey. They could only take certain steps on the Sabbath, for example. They could only take so many steps, and then if they took more than that, they would have sinned. And they had all these little rules which took the law of God even further than what they should have. And so Jesus has entered the scene, and the people aren't seeing it. So then Jesus drives out this demon-possessed man, as we saw last week in the synagogue. And so right before them all, the people saw that Jesus' power over this evil spirit and what he had done out there in the wilderness. Jesus is more powerful than Satan. Jesus drives out Satan. Satan obeys Jesus' command. But still, the people still didn't see it. All they could say is, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He even gives orders to the evil spirits, and they obey him. The people did not believe, and the people did not recognize him. They were continuously burdened down from the law. And now Jesus has come, and he's going to free them from bondage. And so this morning we're going to take a look again at Simon's mother-in-law. We talked about her last week a little bit, but we're going to cover some more things this week. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. Now this just wasn't any old fever. There's a specific reason why Mark, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, puts a fever here right at the beginning of his gospel. And the answer is found in Leviticus. Turn back to Leviticus. The third book in the Bible, Leviticus 26. Leviticus chapter 26. And here we read what happens to, or a command given to the people of Israel. We'll look at Leviticus 26, verse 3. God says to the people that if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees of the field their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food that you want and live in safety in your land. Take a look at verse 6. I will grant peace in the land. And drop down to verse 9. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. You see, there are all these blessings that if the people of Israel follow God's decrees and they're careful to obey all the commands, all these blessings will result. But now look at verse 14. Drop to verse 14. But if you will not listen to and carry out all these commands, and if you reject my decrees and abhor my laws and fail to carry out all of my commands and so violate my covenant, then I will do this to you. I will bring upon you sudden terror, wasting diseases, and fever. See that? Fever that will destroy your sight and drain away your life. You see, part of the curse of breaking God's covenant, of not obeying him, is that fevers are going to come. And now turn ahead to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 51. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah 51. Now keep in mind the different pictures of history here. The book of Leviticus was given before the Israelites went into the promised land. And we know what happened. They didn't obey the commands. And so there came this prophecy after they were destroyed. And Isaiah says in verse 51, or in chapter 51, verse 18, he writes about Israel. Of all the sons that Israel bore, there was none to guide her. Of all the sons she reared, there was none to take her by the hand. Israel has broken the covenant curse. The people of Israel are living under the curse of the law because they broke the law, because they did not obey, and there's no son who can raise up Israel. And now you see the connection with our woman, with Simon's mother-in-law. Simon's mother-in-law is in bed with a fever. This is a symptom of the covenant curse. The people of Israel have not obeyed. The people of Israel have not kept God's covenant. And so there are fevers coming upon the people. And there is no son who can raise up Israel. There is no son who can free Israel from this curse. But the Son of God can. Because Jesus went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. This woman is a symbol of the people of Israel, the people who are under the curse, under the burden of the law. And Jesus comes up to this woman and heals her of the curse, and she arises. And she's no longer under that curse of the law. And so how can she rise? What is it about her that she can now arise? Jesus obeyed the law. Remember what happened earlier in the book when Jesus went into the wilderness? And when the people, and when the devil came to him and he was tempting him? Jesus fulfilled that. Jesus was the one, the new Israel, who came and who filled the covenant curse, who came and fulfilled the law, who was righteous, who obeyed the law. And so when Jesus comes to this woman and he grabs her by the hand and she stands up, she doesn't stand up by her own righteousness because she's still a sinner. But Jesus' righteousness lifts her up. Jesus' righteousness frees her from that fever. And what does she begin to do afterwards? She begins to wait on them. She cannot rise by her own obedience. Jesus' obedience helps her to arise. Jesus' obedience frees her from the curse. And she doesn't respond like all the other people. She begins to serve them. She begins to serve Jesus. She doesn't go around like all the other people and say, think of, oh, look, I'm free. This man came into my room and he healed me of my fever. No, she serves him. But again, we see that the people don't get the point. Because that evening after sunset, all the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. All the people are coming, and they like to see Jesus heal all these people. And they like to see him heal all these diseases and drive out all these demons. But Jesus doesn't preach. Jesus doesn't teach them the good news. And they don't leave serving him. They leave in amazement. And so very early in the morning, verse 35, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, and he left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And the solitary place there, the word phrase there in the Greek is very similar. It's tied into the word the wilderness. Remember the wilderness and John the Baptist calling the people out to the wilderness, calling them from the city, calling them from their homes and where they had sinned? Well, now Jesus has gone out to the wilderness, out to a solitary place, out to where he can meet the Father. Jesus sees that the people are not getting the point. He sees that the people are just amazed at all that he does in the healing of the sick. He can see that they're liking him because they make their life on this earth better. And so he goes off to the solitary place. He leaves the town. He goes to a place where he prays to the Father. And he meets the Father. And then comes his disciples. Now remember the disciples. They are the ones who were standing along the lake just doing their own thing. And Jesus called them and they followed. And here come the disciples. And they're speaking for the church. They're representing the church at this point. And so here they come. And they look for him. And they say, everyone is looking for you. Jesus, what are you doing out here? Everybody's looking for you in the town. They want to see more of these demons driven out. They want to see more of these people. There's all kinds of people that need help, Jesus. And you're out here in the wilderness. You need to go back to the town and help these people. But Jesus replies, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also, That is why I have come. You see that? Jesus has come to preach. He has come to preach the gospel. He has come to preach that the new age has dawned, that people need to repent of their sins and to believe. That's why Jesus has come. He's not come to help people on earth feel better about themselves. He's not come to help people be healed of all their diseases and sicknesses so they can be happier here on earth. He's come to preach about the future, about an eternal life which is coming. And so Jesus went on, and he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. And the people aren't coming to him out there in the wilderness. They're not getting the point of what Jesus is trying to say. But they'll come. Well, then Jesus goes back, or he goes to meet a man with leprosy. And you have to understand what leprosy is. You were not born with leprosy. The paralytic, the tale of him which follows, is something that he was born with. But a leper was a person who was once a normal, everyday person. Perhaps he was a doctor, or a farmer, or a lawyer, or something. Perhaps was a housewife. Normal, everyday person, had a family, had his life going for him. He went to the temple when he sinned, and he had his sins forgiven. But all of a sudden, the white spots begin to appear on you. All of a sudden, your life begins to fall apart. And everyone scatters. Everyone scatters because they do not want what you have. Everyone scatters because if they get that leprosy, they will be like you. Your nose begins to fall off. Your fingers begin to fall off. Your arms and your legs are barely hanging on. And here is this person who was once a normal, everyday person, a doctor or a lawyer. He had his family going for him. Perhaps it was a lady who was raising her kids. But all of a sudden, it all falls apart. And you have to go to the priest because these white spots are going upon you. And if you turn back to the book of Leviticus, you'll see what you'll have to do. Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13. Verse 45. Leviticus 13, verse 45. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. A person with leprosy has to go around and tell everyone that he is unclean. The priest of God has declared him unclean. No one can touch him. You stay away from your wife and your children. No one comes near him. Everyone's afraid of you. They don't want you in town anymore. They want you to stay away from you. But worst of all, worse than all of that, if you are a leper, your relationship to God is broken. You cannot be part of God's people anymore. When you sin, you cannot go to the priest and have your sins forgiven and have the priest make the sacrifice, and then the promise of the future forgiveness of sins will come to you. That's over. You are permanently unclean, and you have to shout that you are unclean. And there is no cure for leprosy. No priest can cure a leper. In God's eyes, you are dead. But God can cure one. In the book of Numbers, perhaps you will remember about Miriam. And Miriam protested against Moses in the wilderness. And when she protested, God gave her leprosy. And then she went outside the camp for a while, and God granted his forgiveness, and then she came back and she was cleansed. And perhaps you remember the story of Naaman in the book of Kings, who was the king, was the head of the Aram army, and who through a slave girl, an Israelite slave girl, heard about the God of Israel. And he went to meet Elisha. And Elisha told him to wash in the water 7 times in the Jordan River. And he went and did it, and he was cleansed. You see, only God can heal leprosy. And all of the priests know it. And this man knows that only God can heal leprosy. And so this man with leprosy, this man whose life has fallen apart, this man who has to go around and shout that he is unclean, 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 he comes to Jesus. And he falls on his knees and he says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus was filled with compassion. Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. You see that? He touched the leper. No one was allowed to touch a leper. If you touched a leper, you could get leprosy. If you touched a leper, you would be unclean. Your relationship with God would be broken. No one has touched this man since he got leprosy. And the Son of God reaches out and he touches the man. And he says, "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he was cured. He was cured. His life had fallen apart. He had no hope in God's eyes and in the eyes of the priests and the people of Israel. He was dead. And the Son of God is willing to cleanse him, and he's clean. And the word that Jesus has used, the word that is written there for "be clean" in the Greek, is an indication that it's eschatological cleansing. In other words, Jesus cleanses him even before God. The man who had no hope, in one instant, is clean. And so Jesus sends him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." He wants him to offer to go to the priest. Now, why would Jesus do that? Jesus had already cleansed him. He was already clean. Why does Jesus send him back to the priest? Can't Jesus cleanse him? Well, let's take a look what he has to do. Leviticus 14. We're really in that book today. Leviticus 14. This is the next chapter after the one we just read. About chapter 13, what a person does when he's unclean. But in Leviticus 14, starting at verse 2. Now keep in mind, this is a whole chapter here on just cleaning skin diseases. "These are the regulations for the diseased person at the time of his ceremonial cleansing, when he is brought to the priest. The priest is to go outside the camp and examine him. If the person has been healed of his infectious skin disease, the priest shall order that 2 live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought for the one to be cleansed. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over fresh water in a clay pot. He is then to take the live bird and dip it, together with the cedar wood, the scarlet yarn, and the hyssop, into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. 7 times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the infectious disease and pronounce him clean. Then he is to release the live bird in the open fields. The person is to be cleansed. The person to be cleansed must wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and bathe with water. Then he will be ceremonially clean. After this he may come into the camp, but he must stay outside the tent for 7 days. On the 7th day, he must shave off all of his hair. He must shave his head, his beard, his eyebrows, and the rest of his hair. He must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water, and he will be clean. We're going to just take a look at 10. On the 8th day, he must bring 2 male lambs and 1 ewe lamb, 1 year old, each without defect. Okay, he has to bring some lambs. Now look at verse 12. Then the priest is to take one of the male lambs and offer it as a guilt offering. Skip down to 19. Then the priest is to sacrifice the sin offering and make atonement for the one to be cleansed from his uncleanliness. Verse 23, on the eighth day he must bring them for cleansing to the priest at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. You're getting the picture. There's a whole chapter here of someone who is cleansed of leprosy or of another skin disease and what he has to do. It takes 8 days to get this kind of thing finished. And so Jesus wants this man to go do that. He wants this man to go do what is required of him. But there's a problem, isn't there? Nobody can heal a leper. The people know that. The priest knows that no one can heal a leper. This man knows that no one can heal a leper. So why does God put a whole chapter in the book of Leviticus about healing a leper? Because they know that someday someone is going to come who can heal a leper. They know that someday the Son of God is going to come and he will heal lepers. Remember when Moses went to the people of Israel? Moses went to the people of Israel and he said, Pharaoh, let my people go. And he stuck his hand in his coat and it came out leprous. And then he stuck it back in and it came out cleansed. This was a sign. God gave him the sign of leprosy to indicate that he was a messenger from God. No one can cleanse a leper. Yet Moses could have his hand clean. Now here comes Jesus. Jesus comes into this land. These people are living under the burden of the law. The scribes and the Pharisees teach according to the tradition. And the people aren't believing it. The people are only amazed, and they're coming around from everywhere just to have their diseases healed and to have their demons driven out. And the people aren't getting it. And Jesus goes off to a solitary place and he prays to the Father. Lord, they're not getting it, Lord. And then comes a man with leprosy. Just as Moses came with the sign of the curing of leprosy, now here comes Jesus. And this leper comes up to him. And this leper is cleansed of his leprosy. No one could cleanse a leper. His hands were falling off. His fingers were falling off. He was rotting flesh. He had to shout, I am unclean all of the day. And Jesus heals him. And do you see why Jesus sends him to the priests? He says at the end of verse 44, as a testimony to them. Okay, priests. This whole chapter in the book of Leviticus is about the cleansing of a leper. No one can cleanse a leper, priests. But now the one has come. The one from God has come who can cleanse a leper. But instead, our man, who had no hope, who had lost his life, instead of obeying Jesus and going to the priest, he begins to talk freely, spreading the news. Oh, I got my life back. I can now go live with my wife and kids. I can now go back to my career. I can now go back to making money. I don't have to be a leper anymore and live outside the city, and I can go back and live my life again. But he forgot something, didn't he? He forgot about the future. He forgot about eternal forgiveness. He can only think about how wonderful his life on this earth would be again. We forgot about the future. He forgot that it doesn't matter if you're a leper on this life, if you know Jesus. This man reacts just like all the people of Israel were reacting. And so Jesus could not longer go into a town openly, but he stayed outside in the lonely places. Again, he goes out to the lonely and solitary places. But now look, the people are still coming to him out there. They're starting to see it. They're starting to draw to him He's starting to draw them outside of the land. They're starting to leave their homes and to follow him out there in the desert. It's starting to come. At the end of it, as we continue through the book, you'll see where it goes. But Jesus has come, and he's freed these people from the bondage, from the burden of the law. And this morning, as you look at this passage, as you look at this text, you're going to have to ask yourself, where do I fit in? How am I in here? Well, if you are in Christ, you are Simon's mother-in-law. You were once under the covenant curse. You were once just as sick and wobbly as what she was with her fever. You were once suffering under the law and of the curse of your disobedience. But Jesus came to you, and he reached out his hand, and he helped you up. And all of that curse, and all of that fever that she had, and all of the curse of the sin that she had upon you, was gone. You were free from that. His righteousness came upon you. His righteousness is why you can serve him. And if you are in Christ, you're the leper. At one time, your relationship with God was broken. At one time, when God looked down from heaven, and he saw you and the life that you were living, he saw you shouting, "Unclean, unclean!" You were living a life which wasn't for Jesus. You were living a life just as he was. You were cast outside of the people of God. You did not know him. You were alone. But there was a time when you came to him. And you said, "If you are willing, Jesus, you can make me clean." And Jesus was willing. And he made you clean. And the leprosy and the uncleanness which was upon you, all of your sin was gone. God looked at you and you were righteous as Jesus is righteous. But don't do like the leper did. Don't disobey. Don't forget about the future salvation. Don't come to Jesus just to get your life back. Come to Jesus for the future, for the heaven which is awaiting you. Jesus has come. And the people in the passage, the people in the text, aren't getting it. They are so caught up with their tradition and with their law, they don't understand. And Jesus is beginning to show them. And the Spirit is beginning to work in the people. And so this is the Reformation. This is Jesus' Reformation. Freedom from the law. Freedom from the bondage of the curse of sin, and new life to those who believe in him. Amen. Father in heaven, what a difficult thing it is for us to hear something, to believe something, yet to live it. And Lord, we see ourselves here in this passage. We see ourselves as Simon's mother-in-law. Because we know that if we tried to love you and to serve you by our own works and what we do, we would be with the fever. We would be wobbly-kneed. We couldn't walk. We couldn't serve you. But you have lifted us. You have put your righteousness in us. Your righteousness is charged upon our own account. And so we can serve you. And Lord, help us as new people who believe in you and who love you to serve you with all of our hearts. And Lord, we know, some of us perhaps better than others, what it was like to be a leper. We know from the lives that some of us have lived what it was like to be unclean, what it was like to not know you, what it was like to be away from the people of God, to be put outside of the cities and outside of the towns, to be living in the caves, to have no hope for our life. But you made us clean. When we prayed to you, you cleansed us, and now we know you. Now we can serve you. Now we stand before you, and we are no longer unclean, but we are clean. And help us, Lord, as we live our lives, not to think about our own earthly kingdom and whatever we're doing here on this earth, but to think about the future, about the life that you have for us in heaven, a life which has hope, a life which is greater than anything which could ever be upon this earth. And Lord, as we live our lives, help us not to dwell upon our sins, but help us to stay away through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to live as we are clean. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.